Blog Talk Radio.
All right, all right, all right. Great afternoon, great afternoon. We're glad to have you tuning in and listening to Home-Based Business 101 here on Blog Talk Radio, which is truly listener-supported radio. We have over 45,000 people who have tuned in to episode or show here on Blog Talk Radio on Home-Based Business 101's channel. And we're just, again, thankful to have you on today. Today is the National Black Unity News Radio Show. And we have as our guest the publisher of National Black Unity News, Mr. David Murphy. And we're going to do is we're going to open up with a poem this afternoon to sort of set the tone and put things in perspective. Okay, and the poem goes, "I Have Only Just a Minute," by Dr. Benjamin Elijah Mays. "I only have just a minute, only 60 seconds in it. Forced upon me, can't refuse it, didn't seek it, didn't choose it. But it's up to me to use it. I must suffer if I lose it, give account if I abuse it. Just a tiny little minute, but eternity is in it." And that's by the late, great Dr. Benjamin Elijah Mays, who was chairman emeritus of Morehouse University, Morehouse College, and with such profound wisdom that he put in that poem, I can see why he was the chairman of Morehouse University and, you know, all the things that he summed up in that tiny little poem. He said, "Only just a minute, only 60 seconds in it. It's forced upon me, can't refuse it, didn't seek it, didn't choose it. But it's up to me to use it. I must suffer if I lose it, give account if I abuse it. Just a tiny little minute, but eternity is in it." And so, you know, the most important thing is every time we see something, witness something, it only takes a minute to respond. It only takes a minute to say thank you. It only takes a minute to say I'm sorry. It only takes a minute to do so many things. It only takes a minute to say I love you. It only takes a minute to say thank you for being my friend. And with that, I want to bring on Mr. David Murphy, as we're going to do today, as we're going to have open dialogue around some issues that face the African American community. And so, you know, we want to go ahead and get that ball rolling and kick in with a couple issues. One is the anniversary of the Charlottesville situation that took place a year ago, and how people rallied the troops again. It forced Trump to come out and ask people to make sure that there's no quote-unquote racist bigotry that is in the rally, so to keep things quote-unquote escalating into getting out of hand, which last year, as you know, we had a lady that lost her life. A couple of policemen lost their lives. And it just was a bloody mess. And so what are your thoughts around how these people are getting prepared for this Charlottesville event? I believe they had the event already. I got to check the news to see if there were any incidents or not any incidents. But what's your thoughts around that, Dave?
Oh, well, first and foremost, I want to say greetings and salutations to the listening audience. And I'd like to thank my God for this great opportunity. What a powerful opening poem. You know, we only have a minute. It's powerful, powerful. Time is so precious because we never get it back, every second, every minute. You know, so I appreciate you sharing that with us. But, you know, based on what you just spoke about in Charlottesville, where they assimilating themselves to I guess to come together to show strength and unity amongst those who believe that, from my perspective, I can only speak for my, that they're a little better than somebody else. You know, you asked me the question, so I'm going to give it to you straight. I think that's one of the most arrogant things that I ever seen, you know, because based on history, certain groups of people went all over this world pillaging, robbing, stealing, murdering people, and claim things as their own. And then going to ask the incumbents of those places to bow down to them and their ways and claim things as their own, their inventions, their lifestyles. And it said, it's mine, just because you took it by might. But in this country, I guess they put laws into place to protect certain groups of people, because that's what you know, the dominant class usually makes the laws. And you know, some people say it's just, but you know, there's several types of laws. I always say there's man's laws, there are natural laws, and then there's God's laws. And these are just happen to be man's laws. So I find problems with that. Because anytime, you know, you can't stop a person from talking. But if I was to, myself personally, took a group of people and I armed myself and I went to a certain neighborhood, peaceful, just armed, just having a weapon on my side and in my hand or something, I can almost guarantee you that all types of law enforcement agencies will be there. They ain't going to ask too many questions. They're going to have me on the ground. They're going to ask me for permits. They're going to throw me up against the wall. They're going to provoke me. And eventually, even they're going to end up, if I get lucky, I end up going to jail. But for the most part, they're going to end up being a gunfight. And see, I understand the right to assemble yourself for demonstrations if you're against this and you're against that. But you asked the question. I think it's just straight up arrogance for so many to have so much, to be so privileged and still wants more. I can't classify it no other way, Brother Satavi. Back to you, sir.
Yes, sir. I mean, you know, I look at, as I'm a history buff, I look at when Reconstruction first ended. And it was ended with what was called the Hayes-Tilden Compromise, in which the deal was that the electoral votes would be given to Rufford B. Hayes in compliance with him removing the federal troops from the South, which at that time was the enforcer of the 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendment in the states that had seceded from the Union and had went into quote-unquote Civil War mode. And they knew that once they took those troops out of the South, the black people would be defenseless because there would be no one there to quote-unquote uphold the law and make sure that things was done in a just manner. It seems and appears to me that these people who are rallying folks together want to do something very, very similar in terms of making sure that they have their rule and that other people do not have quote-unquote constitutional rights to be able to do and ascend to certain positions and status in this society. And so it is arrogant amongst those who are rallying folk together to return to the old quote-unquote Southern ways The South did lose the Civil War, as far as I know. But, you know, these people, they want to rally people together around, I call it, dead issue, because that issue was defeated. And it's just, as you said, you know, sheer arrogance for them to want to assert their will, their authority over people without giving people their just due.
And, you know, even with that being said, you know, based on, again, law, their laws, because I don't think we had too much input into back in them days about how the laws was, you know, legislated or brought forth, you know, and I didn't think they didn't have too much favor with us in mind. And so some things need to change. And, you know, everybody has a right to their opinion, but your opinion could be dead wrong. And, but, you know, there's a truth and there's a lie. And I don't care what you believe, you know, you can believe that you can fly, but, you know, if you jump off that mountain, another law gonna come into place. And I don't think you're going to make it. But in any case, another thing is that because I believe that they assembled themselves because they have a man who is the president of these United States who are very passionate, or how would you say, encouraging them to come forth out of this. Because one time in this country, things was beginning, you know, it was under, you know, people still believed in certain things, certain ideologies and everything, but at the same time, you know, they kept it to themselves. You know, they wouldn't openly come out like that anymore. But now, because it's being condoned by the head man in charge of this country, they feel as though this is the time to make their move again. Because now not only do they have the government on the side, but the government already, you know, from my perspective, always been on your side. But then again, you know, when greed, hate, and all of those negative connotations beseech a person or a man or a woman, it's a disease, it's an illness. And it clouds your judgment sometimes, and it makes you act a certain way. And if the truth was told, scientifically, spiritually, any way you want to put it, that no man, no groups of people are no better than another group of people. Well, we breathe air just like everybody else do, you know. And so just the pure energy to go around, to even have the audacity to assemble themselves, to make a spectacle of themselves. And I'm going to tell you, you know, I'm being straight up about this. This is no joke. This is some serious stuff that's taking place. You know, as I say, the handwriting is on the wall. You know, people are declaring warfare. They're calling out the troops. But yet they make this big old noise just the other day. And I'm going to show you how, you know, I'm in the media. I publish the National Black Unity News. And it's a law to say they can do this. Now, there was a compound in Arizona, I believe, where a group of black Muslim brothers and sisters and some children was there. And they go raid the place and they say the children was undernourished. But I didn't see the children. I didn't see, you know, they didn't show, you know, but they picked one child out. And one child said that they was being taught to go around to the school to shoot schools up. A child said this. Now, there was no other corroboration from any other people there. Just this one child said this. And so now, then they put the machine into place, the media, blasting this, that, and then they creating all this fear and all this negative to give people like those people selling today a right to feel the way they do. And see, media plays a big part in all of this kind of stuff. Now, and then they all of a sudden going to say, well, this gentleman was associated with this gentleman way back in 1980, this, in 1970, this. His father was this, his father was that. Now, if I'm in the media myself, and I can pick somebody up and say, yeah, I remember when you was in the kindergarten and you did this and you associated with that person or you walked with that person, and I can make that relevant to what you do today. And see, this is what you call, what I call propaganda through the media. How they can pick one group and villainize them, and they could be a total, because one child said this, and they're going to make a whole big thing about this. Now, it could be true, it could not be true, but the way they, like I say, the way the media was covering this, I didn't see too much corroboration, no facts. But at the same time, you got these other groups, now they feel justified in doing what they're doing. See, when you play one hand against the other, then it's like smoke and mirrors sometimes, you know, when what they do with laws and law enforcement and those who they call themselves protecting, who they don't protect. And so all I'm saying is this. Yeah, they're going to say they always have assembled themselves, not only in Charlottesville, but they also do it in Congress. They do it in your own backyard, in your own legislative districts. They meet on a regular basis and make these types of laws that don't mean you well. And all I'm saying to you, you know, if anybody need to assemble, we need to assemble. We need to put some laws in effect. And I ain't talking about man's law. I'm talking about godly laws, because they don't coincide with what's taking place today. Back to you, sir.
Yes, sir. Going back to the one that we opened up with, I remember reading statement by the Honorable Marcus Garvey, where he said, "It only take a minute for black people to just change their mindset about their perception of the world and how we fit into the Western society's role that was set aside for us, quote unquote, in terms of." Everybody else having a flag, having a country, but us, the Bigaboo, as he said, has no country, no flag, no nation. His response to that was, thus I don't see them, so I will create them. And that's what he attempted to do, and he built, ultimately ended up building the largest organization of African people in the world.
Is that something that just goes to show you, even during his time, the Honorable Marcus Garvey, during his time, when these laws were in full effect, the laws against us was in full effect, and but yet he was able to amass such an army, a group of people to build businesses nationwide and around the world, shipping and everything else. Back in them days. Now, all I can say is this, Brother Satavi, is that with this mass communication that we have, with all of these tools in place, the knowledge and wisdom that we claim to have this day and time, that we are in this condition. And see, people don't understand that, you know, yes, a lot of us don't like it. But see, this is what happens when you come together, see, unity, by any means necessary, unity. These people don't necessarily like each other sometimes, but for the greater good of what their purpose is, they will unite. And that's why it's so important to be not only respectful of yourself, but to be respectful of other people's right to unite and everything else. You know, they have a right to do that. To protect their own. I mean, I want to protect my own as well. But let's be fair about this. What are you truly protecting? See, a lot of people, just like sheep led to the slaughter, because somebody told them this. Somebody, see, nobody ain't really doing no fact check, because if they did, they wouldn't be doing what they're doing. They wouldn't be thinking the way they're thinking. But see, because so many people are persuaded by mass media, propaganda, marketing, advertisement, through your music, through your education, through so many other forms of mass communication, that they're sending subliminal messages to you and to me and to them as well about who's in charge. And they're talking about going back the way things used to be and making America great again. They're being told that they're threatened, that their race of people are being disintegrated because we are mixing and they are not having this many babies, and so therefore they're going to be minorities. So they feel as though, some of them feel as though they have a right. You know, they're fighting for their survival now. That's what they're being told. But, and many of these call themselves Christians, and many of them call themselves righteous men. But if the truth be told, if the truth, they say the truth will make you free, a lot of us are enslaved mentally. We are in so much bondage. I ain't talking about just black people. I'm talking about other folks right now. They are truly in bondage because they have to be some crazy thinking to think that kind of way. To feel that you are privileged, that you have an entitlement to something. After you've known the history of this country, what they did to another group of people so that you can have what you have today, how dare you sit up here and think that you are entitled to all of this? And then you're going to go have a group and go march about it? After what your fathers did and your grandfathers did? And so that kind of thinking, man, that I can say is a disease, it's a sickness. And if it don't go checked, it's gonna be massive destruction, just like cancer. It will take over the whole body, and America will fall. And all I'm saying is this: if you love this country and you want to make it right, you don't have to act like somebody else has to act. All I'm saying to you, I'm talking about black people, African American, indigenous people. It's time for you to stand up. Respect yourself. Respect your brothers and sisters. Pull another brother up. Talk to another brother, especially our young folks. Talk to them. Hug them. Love them. Speak truth. If you don't know that, you seek it. This is some dangerous times. People are out, like you say, you look at the news every day. Every day, and they do it on national TV. Showing another black man or black woman or child being lynched. When I say lynched, being shot down in the same results, dead by the hand of law. And all they have to do is say, I feel justified. I was threatened. And this is what these folks are assembling here today. Listen to the connotations of what they say. They feel as though they are being threatened. They have got this law, they come and stand in there. They are standing their ground today to show to you they're not going to have this in this country. I ain't say that. In this country, what they claim is theirs. They're closing the borders off. They don't want no more mixing. They don't want all of these people coming together and bringing their ways in there. They don't look like them or don't act like them or don't talk like them. This is a sick time, ladies and gentlemen, and it's being condoned by the government. That's why they feel so empowered today to even come out like that. Because they actually feel threatened. But unfortunately, that's the way they are thinking. And enough of us need to step up. We don't have to act the same way somebody else do. We don't even have to do a counter-protest. You should know by now, or if you don't know, ask somebody who you are, what you are. Respect yourself, regardless of what they say. Back to you, bro. I'm getting a little heated. Back to you, brother Satan.
I hate you, brother. I hate you. It's something to get heated about, man. Something to get heated about. But as you're saying, you know, the thing is making sure that we fight a good fight, continue to uphold the spirit of our ancestors, those who gave their lives so that
a little bit of freedom that we have today that we can enjoy and exercise. So, you know, I'm thankful for them, what they have done, and how they've done, and how they left us, you know, a battle cry to continue to fight, wage the fight. So, our ancestors, I say thank you.
Thank you. Much love and respect. But I do know one thing, you know, when people from one generation to another generation, you know, I just thank God that I was raised up in a time where my people had a certain level of awareness. And they taught us to do this, get education. They taught us to be respectful of each other. But because during the time of the transition, that's what I call it, in the 50s, 60s, and 70s, they came out with the drug culture, hippie movement, free love, let everything go. College campuses, there were wars going on. The country went through a transitional period. And they opened up the doors, what they call it, they opened up the doors so that we can take our dollars to them. And unfortunately, they didn't bring any dollars back to us. So during my time, we got so caught up in the integration thing and the mixing thing that we forgot our true basic, our true concept of our being. Even though we was a lost tribe, but we still had pride. We still shared with one another. But because they took our culture, because they had this mass media, they infused all kinds. See, it's weapons of mass destruction comes in many forms. It comes in the forms of music. It comes in the form of education or lack of it. It comes in forms of laws that for you or against you. And it comes in law, just straight up sheer arrogance. And I believe, this is David Murphy speaking, I believe that if my generation, those of us who are still around, we have to embrace our young. We have to tell them what our parents was like, and what what our true history was like, what their grandfathers and great grandfathers was like. Somewhere down the way, along the way, we kind of lost even our identity here in this country. They even took the little identity that we formed here, and they now took that away from us. They took one of our most hated words and made it to another generation of ours, they embraced it as in terms of endearment. They took our music, much as we love music, and turned it in on us with disrespecting our women, disrespecting each other, all about being me, myself, and I. They taught us selfishness. They took our politicians and our financial institutions and put in corruption, corrupt people in it. I mean, they did all sorts of things. So, you know, we have to be extremely aware of what's taking place right now. Even this conversation we have right now, brothers and sisters, is being monitored. Just because we in the media and we have the power to persuade, just like they do. I tell people we own less than 1% of it, but they don't even want us to have that. Because if we ever waking up to sleeping giant, and they know that this is what we are. The black people in this country are sleeping giant. People all over the world are waiting for us to wake up. But see, people had this kind of fear about us. And it's not because they don't understand us, but you know we're not that type of people. And they think that we're going to do to them what they've done to us if we wake up and took our rightful roles. But unfortunately, you know, everybody, you know, like I say, you can only think a certain type of way. Now, you can change, but a lot of people don't want to change because, like I say, the way they had these culture classes and everything set up, it's just mass communication going to direct you one way or the other. And when you don't control that media, you don't control the conversation. And the conversation right now is us against them right now. They hold the keys to power. They own the shipping channels. They own the legislature. They own the government. They own the banking institutions. So now they feel as though they own you as well. But again, you know, when people think a certain type of way, it's dangerous. Now, through all out history, this is nothing new when governments have done these sorts of things against people. All throughout the Bible and other holy books, the same thing happened. This is just an evolution of things that in the past, but unfortunately, when governments start thinking this way, that's when they fell. And they didn't fall from other countries around them. They were so powerful, just like the United States said. They had the Syrian Empire, the Roman Empire, and many other empires back in the day. Whipped everything around them, conquered everything. And all of them fell for one reason. They started mistreating their people. And the people from within arose. And when a house divided, it falls. And if America's not careful, that's about what to take place. And some people want to see its destruction. And so all I'm saying to those who are listening in, government, my people, and other people, if you want to keep this aside and make it great again, then you need to be respectful of yourself and you be respectful of your fellow man. God didn't make no mistakes. He didn't make you better or made me worse. And if you want to keep the society a free society, a fair society, a strong society, now the principles that they wrote about this country trying to get it established were great principles, but they had to say when all men are created equal, all men. You said it yourself. All men are created equal, not one-third or two-thirds. But if you go back to basics sometimes, And based on what you thought, what your belief in God and everything, that you say God himself said all men are created equal, then where in the world does this come that you better or somebody else is lesser? If you want to reserve this great country of ours, and that's right, ours, because we paid a price for this country, and freedom comes with a price. We paid a hell of a price, more than just about anybody in this country. We paid that price. And they people need to recognize that. We done fought it just in every war there was. We fought for it. We died for it. We had blood, sweat, and tears in this country, more so than most people would ever have to endure. But yet there's people assembling themselves today, wanting more. So if they want more, that means somebody got to get less. So if I'm just saying to your listener on Brother Satawi, is this, that we have to do a checkup. We're going to have to do it real, real soon because I hate to say this, but if things don't change, and we have the power to change, because like you said, one man, Marcus Garvey, made a powerful difference. Can you imagine what two or three or four or five men can do, what you and I could do? And we're making attempts right now to set the record straight. All we're doing is speaking truth. We're not speaking of hatred. We're not speaking of destroying a group of people. All we're saying, let's do better for each other. All we're saying is this, you know, that if I respect you and you respect me, then we can all bring something to the table and make this a strong and powerful nation. But unfortunately, those of us who are sitting on the sidelines, the bylines, who are not saying anything, I'm talking about black and white folks alike, then if you're not part of the solution, then you're part of the problem. Sitting back and saying nothing don't help anybody. And if enough other people stand up, enough of their own people stood up. And that's what happened last year. It wasn't all of us fighting them. There was a whole bunch of people fighting back. But that's the true sentiment of the country. There's a lot of people thinking that way because they've been in secluded Arizona, and this is what they've been told. Government need to open up. You know, we got all of these museums and all of these history books, tainted books, but bring out the real books. Bring out the truth. And they say the truth will make you free. Back to you, Brother Satan.
Yes, that's so true what you just said. What we're going to do is we're going to take a quick station break here and go to our advertisements. And this show here is part of the Home Based Business Network, which is brought to you by The Vortex. And you probably say, well, what is The Vortex? And who can benefit from The Vortex? Well, of course, anyone who travels can benefit from having a Vortex customer account. It's free, and it's important to think about who could benefit the most. Who travels frequently? Where do they go? And I want to go through a couple of examples real quick. Example one, young couple, no kids, late 20s, early 30s, travels 4 to 5 times a year, mostly long weekends with 1 week long trip. Thing is, we want to emphasize taking advantage of the hotel savings, the type of bookings offered for their personalized travel experience with access to additional perks, not typically at chain hotels. Vortex account is free for them, and it helps them save on their travel, and it's win-win, especially for the couple on the go and looking for the perfect weekend getaway. Example type number two, family of four, 30s and 40s, travel once a year, emphasize weekly stay at family-friendly resort locations. These bookings offer more value with additional rooms instead of booking additional hotel rooms or cramming everybody into one room. This ensures that the whole family will enjoy their vacation. It is all in all the comfort of home for less than you might think. And so with this again, this free Vortex booking, travel booking engine, you go to www.myvortex365.com/MU, which stands for Movements Unlimited, group, GROUP, and you can create your free account and begin to start saving 85 to 90% of the time when you book your trip, especially if we got Labor Day coming up. People are going to be trying to get that last beach run in, and we got some great savings on places like Myrtle Beach, the Gulfport, in terms of beaches. Matter of fact, we did an article in the latest edition of the National Black Unity News on, because we're the national travel editors, on beaches. And we went through several different beaches that people can access. So make sure you go to www.myvortex365.com/MU group, GROUP. Create your free account and start saving money. And definitely want to save for your Labor Day weekend getaways in terms of where you'll be going. And we want to thank you for being part of our listening audience.
and taking advantage of the Vortex travel and booking savings. Okay. We want to get back to our discussion of dialogue. What we'd like to be able to do on this last half of the show is cover a topic that's out there in the black community, the Colin Kaepernick issue. And there's a video that went out, and several blacks did in it, that's asked some black folk to boycott the NFL this season. Because Colin, that was not given a job with the NFL team, still does not have one, then people are saying, hey, the brother took a knee for us. Why can't we take a stand with him? So, you know, when we think about all of the money that comes into the NFL, National Football League, and, you know, what is it that we get out of it? I mean, Colin, he took a knee because of the racial injustice that was happening to black folks being killed by police, other folk, and all the stuff that's going on. And, you know, he just wanted to highlight that issue. But in the process of highlighting that issue, he pissed some people off. It was never about the flag or being patriotic, anti-patriotism, but using the platform of the national anthem to take a stand and say, hey, you know, we're supposed to be a better country than this. Why do we have these issues going on in which black people are killed and gunned down in the street? And not only that, gunned down in the street, but gunned down in the street by law enforcement. People that are supposed to be officer friendly, serve and protect, comes, you know, officer killmonger, you know, kill and destroy. So, you know, he took a knee, and all the people asked him, he said, we take a stand. As much as I love football and like football, I will not be watching any football this season. As we get ready to kick off, and if they're already in the preseason, and as we kick off the NFL season, I will not be one of those people that the NFL will be making money off of, but yet cannot respond to the issue of what our brother put on the table to get people to take a look at the social injustices that are taking place in America. What's your thought around that, Dave?
Oh, man, so many. But, you know, based on what you mentioned, the Internet, you know, I saw something yesterday on the same subject matter. Now, this is not to put down one group of people or what your lifestyle may be, but I'm just using this, I'm just quoting what they said. Now, they're saying that if Colin would have done that and he was a gay man fighting for gay rights and he took a knee doing for that stand, they would have classified him as a hero for taking a stand for a movement. But see, you can't have it both ways. Yet it's all right for those people in Charlottesville to assemble themselves. And from the president all the way down, say they're good people, yeah, you know. I'm not disputing that, but I'm just saying, but, you know, he condones this. But as soon as a black man take a knee and to stand up for his people, then he has a problem with it. He goes to war on them. Tell them they should be fired. They should be kicked out. They should be done this to them. The president of the entire United States saying this. Then they're going to twist it around and use their propaganda machine, going to make it about something else. Like you just said, unpatriotic. It ain't just that, so ain't why he did that. It had nothing to do with the flag. But see, this is how the machine works. And see, you know, like you said, if we don't stand for something, you know, we will fall for anything. And see, you know, we have proven once again, see, history has a way evolving itself. You see, there was a time when they asked this young lady to get into the back of the bus. And she don't work all day, told her to get up so some white person could sit down. But the reaction was, they unified themselves first. They organized themselves. And they put on a boycott. They start spending their money with the same people that told them they can't sit here and can't sit there. And it hit them where they hurt at, their pockets, their financial institutions. But see, they stood there for the long haul. This wasn't no short-term fix. See, what's going on in this country is long-term. This ain't no new-term fix. We must learn. We have to stand the tide. You know, we have to ride things out sometimes. We got to get our values in place. See, you don't see, the thing is, this brother's a good football player. Now, he was about anybody else, I'm talking about if he was a white man, gay man, he would be given a job immediately. So happens he happened to be a black man. So therefore, he don't have the right to exercise his rights in this country. Because those rights were meant for somebody else, not him, not us. And did you see the backlash behind this? They were burning jerseys and anybody who did anything about with it, whoever stood there. See, this is the kind of the stuff that goes on in this country. But yet they can come together in Charlottesville and get together, assemble themselves, carry guns around and hold up signs and walk right in front of the White House. Where the president at on that? Oh, I don't condone this, I don't, and that's it. But yeah, but he had a whole lot to say about but his brother bending down, you know, on his knees to try to right a wrong. This is the president of the United States. And then half the people in this country backed him up on what he suggested. And see, you can take it as a symbolism. You can call it anything you want to. But, you know, what the brother did, I think, was powerful, and he stood his ground. And again, you have to make your own choice on this. But then again, I'm going to just leave it like this. Either you stand for something, or you're going to fall for anything. And you say that don't make us significant. It does make us a powerful significant. I just gave you a demonstration of what happened in Montgomery when our people took a stand. They didn't sit down on the bus anymore. They stood up. They walked, whatever they had to do. But they stopped supporting people who didn't support them. Then it hit them where it hurt at. I tell people this. I say it all the time. I'm going to continue to say it. You can call our areas that we live in ghettos, slums, the hood, whatever you want to call it. But I tell you one thing, people come from all over the world to set up shop in the hood, the slums, the ghettos. And even in our most impoverished areas, people make fortunes off of us. We stop supporting this, we stop spending there, whole lot of stuff going to crumble. That's their biggest fear. You want to bring this economy down, you want to get some attention, take a stand. What are you willing to stand up for? Are you willing to stand up for yourself? Are you willing to stand up for your children, your community, your people? Where did one cross the line at? People, you have to get real. You know, you like, Brother Satai, I loved it when you used to do that. The man in there is one of my favorite songs, the lyrics. We have to be accountable to us first. And when this brother took a stand, a knee, they didn't look at it just because he was calling. No, that was a black man. That's me. They came out against me. for standing for something that you're doing to me. You're killing my children, my people in the streets, and I can't say nothing about it. I can't even kneel down about it. I didn't say nothing. I can't even kneel, and you get upset with me after you done killed my baby and my people, and I take a knee in protest. I didn't go up in your face, hit you in your face, or force you back. All I did was take a knee, and then you're going to do this to me. The land of the free, huh? Well, Wow. Back to you, Brother Satari.
Yeah, I mean, the president even came out and said, suggested to the owners. First, he called the players son of a bitches. Suggested to the owner that, hey, you know, fire the son of a bitch. You know. Jerry Jones, the Dallas Cowboys, you know, he sort of rallied around what Trump had to say because he issued a thing to all of his players that they cannot take a knee. And if they do this, there could be, you know, repercussions. So that's what, you know, black players on that team, they put them in a situation where do they stand up and rally and support what's going on? There's other players on other teams who are still taking a knee, trying to bring heat to the issue to get the using their platform as NFL players to put the country into a dialogue around the disharmony in the criminal justice system and what's taking place in the streets in terms of people being murdered by police. I mean, there's a high-profile case in Baltimore where a Baltimore detective who was on a sting operation was murdered. And people say, hey, it's very interesting that grand jury was coming up. This was going to indict the police department. This brother was supposed to have inside information or whatever. And then he gets murdered in the streets, and we still haven't resolved for who murdered. I'm trying to remember the Texas name, but he was murdered in Baltimore, and you have to remember that detective's name.
Well, yes, Souter, Detective Souter,
okay.
I believe. Yes. And Brother Satavi, you know, see, this thing is deep. I'm glad you brought this subject matter up because, see, this goes back to economic. It goes back to unity. See, because we give all of our talents. Everybody in the NFL is very talented player. It takes a lot to get to where they are. And you ask, I mean, when people ask them to make a sacrifice, And you know, for their people, and of course, you know, they're making good money. You know, they make pretty good money, and the next man willing to step up to take his place. But see, if this was a Jewish society, first of all, nothing would have never been said. They wouldn't have no problem with the person taking a knee because they know power only could seize the power. See, they own media. They own the press. They have lawyers and things like that can back their people up. So this is why it's so important to support the National Black Unity News. This is why I support the travel services. This is why it's so important to support this radio program. You see, that on a deeper level, When brothers like Colin take a stand, he does that from out of his heart of hearts. How powerful that would be if he knew that he had a nation behind him, a people behind him, that will stand with him, especially when he's standing up for us. And you see, it's a hurtful thing. I can imagine what that brother's going through, not only financially, what they did take his career away from him, because he believed in justice. That's all he would fight for, justice in the land of the free. But see, there he paid the price, and he found out something that a lot of y'all don't want to face up to the fact about. This is not the land of the free. Not for everyone. We got work to do. We got a lot of work to do on so many different fronts. And how much more can you endure? Our children are ODing. The jail system is monetized now. They putting us in jail for a price now. They're getting paid for locking us up now. Everybody gets paid. They've been the path of doing it to everybody. I mean, it's a business now. They get paid for even for your body parts now. They get paid for killing you and paid for if you're living. They get paid for you being dumbed down. They get paid for you living in the slums. I mean, there's so many things that they, you know, that's organized. Strategize against us as a people. So how much more are you going to take? When will you take a stand? There's a lot of brothers out here, sisters out here. I'm not lumping us all up in one pile, who are taking a stand. I'm taking a stand. I'm speaking boldly. I'm taking the gloves off. I got children. I got children's children. And one day they're going to have children. How can I ever sit back and do nothing when I know what they're going to have to face? Just because they was born a certain color, they're going to have some disadvantages in life. They're going to be targeted. They're going to be set up to fail, to be put in institutions, to use drugs and alcohol, to be put in conditions that so that they would themselves would never think about living in. And we do nothing. We don't even want to say nothing. We don't even want to protest with the brother. We don't even want to demand our rights anymore. One time we would stand up, we would fight, we would do it. Where's our organizations at now? They're very quiet because they infiltrated everything. See, they got freedom because they bought it with a price. A lot of us are on their payroll. That's why nothing's being said and nothing's being done. But I'm saying this to you. See, I'm going to another law now, a higher law, God's law. God himself said there's a time for this and it's a time for that. It's a time to love. It's even a time to kill. And I'm going to take you to a natural law. There are no species that I'm aware of on this earth will allow anyone. I don't care if you're an ant, an eagle, a fish will allow anything to come in there and kill their children. They do nothing about it. Natural laws. We're going against natural laws, godly laws. Well, yeah, we put up with these type of laws. So all I'm saying is time to man up. I'm talking about you got to look at yourself in the mirror. Back to you, Brother Satari.
Yes, sir. It is. It's time for people to get a copy of the National Black Unity News. Would you like to tell them how they can go online and also how they can get a subscription to the newspaper? still there, David?
Hello.
David, there?
Hello.
Hello, David, can I hear you? You hear me?
Hello.
Hello, good afternoon. This is Mr. Jahi.
Yeah, this ain't David. I was just listening.
Okay.
But I agree with some of the things the man said. But, you know, I'm a Donald Trump. I support and vote for Donald Trump. I'm African American. And I understand what the gentleman said. I voted for him because of the issues myself. All the things that people say he's done with women, and so it wasn't no concern with me. And the things that he would propose, I see he could make better for business, education, and some opportunities, which it has turned into. I was going to tell the gentleman, you know, when you poll and ask blacks, are they afraid of being shot by a police officer? That's not the thing that they complain about. They complain about the crime, especially the elderly, and the violence that's imposed upon them. If you look at the shootings and stuff that they have in these cities, whether it's St. Louis, 74 shootings in Chicago this last week, the week before that, had 24 in 14 hours, 14 dead. He had the big march in North Shore, Chicago, where African Americans came out and said they're tired of that stuff. Those are things that they're concerned about. Issues like school choice, where parents can put their child in the education environment that they figure is best for them, have the money follow the child. When surveyed and polled, the majority of blacks say that's what they want. But you got some of these organizations that always had a camera and the microphone in their face, like your NAACP, who speaks against those things because of them being influenced by teachers' union. So those are some of the things I wanted to make wanted to comment on.
Okay, sir. We thank you for your comments and trying to get David to call back in. And, you know, we appreciate, you know, what you have to say in terms of contributing to the dialogue. I don't necessarily agree with all of those statements, but that's not the point. The point is, how do we come up with unity in our diversity? So that's
it's a good thing that you say diversity because, you know, another thing that people make a miscalculation, all blacks in the United States are not the same. They have different views, different political agendas, different ideologues, and that has to be recognized. Different experiences, even. That has to be recognized. Anyway, I continue to listen.
Okay. All right. Thank you for listening, sir. Okay, you're listening to Home Based Business 101. Again, this show is brought to you by the Voitex. What is the Voitex? The Voitex is an online consumer travel booking site that will save you 85 to 90% of the time on your travel bookings. All you need to do to create your free account, it will not ask you for a social security number or credit card, a free account that will allow you to be able to book your own travel at your own leisure. And you just go to myvortex365.com/MU Group. That's MUGROUP, MU Group. Create your free account and start saving money when you book your travel.
So we want to thank our listening audience for tuning in today. Join us again next Sunday at 3:30 right here on Home Based Business 101 radio broadcast as we do the National Black Unity News newspaper show. You also can go to www.thenationalunitynational.com. NationalBlackUnityNews.com. Or you can Google it, and it should take you to the link. Or you can send a text message to 252-458-3712. I'll give you that again. That's send a text to 252-458-3712 and say, I'd like more information about the radio show and the components that the radio show offers and shares. Again, we'd like to thank you for tuning in. You've been listening to Home Based Business 101 here on Blog Talk Radio. And hey, have a great, successful, and wonderful day. And may the good Lord bless you and you enjoy the rest of your day. God bless.